comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous, gorgeous place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. We're here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Now, we have, as you know, a members area on our website. It's absolutely overflowing with all kinds of cool stuff, all kinds of neat features that enhance your experience at the Kevin Smith Show. But we're moving out of there, and we've enjoyed it. It's been good, but we're moving out of that members area into a new members community, and that's just days away now. So let me remind you. Right now, it's $6.95 a month. If you join right now, you lock that in for a year, $6.95 a month. If you wait till we open up the new members community, it's still going to be an absolutely great deal, but it's going to be $7.50 a month. So you need to join now and take advantage of the opportunity to lock that price in at $6.95. And it'll just transfer over into the new members community. The new members community has everything the members area has right now, plus a lot more. And so there's no genius in not joining, okay? Tonight is going to be Open Line Live, Bring Your Own Topic. I've got a couple of things I'm going to throw on the table, as I always do. We're going to open the phone lines a bit earlier than we normally have in the past. We're going to do it like we did last time at Open Line Live and give you the opportunity to bring your own topic, and we'll talk about what is important, what's on your mind within our genre, okay? One of the things a lot of people are talking about is this satellite that's supposed to be crashing back to Earth tomorrow. And I've been reading lots and lots of forum posts about that on various sites and blogs. Some people are saying that this satellite has a load of plutonium on it. Some are saying it does not. I've researched that very, very carefully over the past 24 hours. I will tell you, there is precious little information on the internet about that satellite. There's a lot of stuff written by the public, but actual specifications about that satellite and how it's powered and so forth, it's very, very little written about the satellite, and nobody addresses how it's powered. So I don't know. I suspect it does not have a load of plutonium on it, but I cannot verify that. I don't know that to be absolutely true. But all of us can speculate, and some people are speculating it does, and some are speculating it does not have plutonium. I did find one post that said it had a plutonium battery, but that was it. All right, we're going to step away now for a couple of minutes, and we shall return with Open Line Live and BYOT right after this. Thank you. right. It is Open Line Live tonight here at the Kevin Smith Show, broadcasting from somewhere on Earth to everywhere on Earth, another excursion into the world of the strange and unexplained. In a few moments, I'll open the telephone lines and invite you to join the conversation. And we'll talk about whatever topic is on your mind. I know you've been reading blogs, reading articles, watching videos, talking with friends about what's going on all around us here on this planet, the strange and the unexplained things going on. And I'd like to invite you to share with us a little bit of what it is that has you buzzing right now. But we'll do that in just a moment. We'll open the phone lines. Right now, I want to throw a couple of things out on the table. First of all, you know, 2012 is coming up, right? And in 2012, there is supposed to be a series of events culminating with December the 21st, 2012, that is, in some folks' minds, D-Day for Earth. And this is caused in that theory holds, that this is caused by the very close passage of a planet that the Sumerians called Nibiru. And it is referred to in other ancient writings, and it is referred to as the destroyer, the winged star or winged planet. It's referred to by various names. But it is referred to in various ancient writings, not just the Sumerian. So it apparently has passed through and has been observed and experienced by a number of ancient cultures. Well, there's a big debate about whether Nibiru actually exists. It's supposed to be actually part of our solar system, but on a very long elliptical orbit. And it's on a very steep incline coming in from beneath the Earth and circling it and heading back out into space on a 3,600-year orbit. Now, is that ancient story true? Well, we have both no reason to say that it definitely is, and we have no reason to say that it definitely is not. Because on both sides of that argument, there's a great deal of speculation. And, on the side that says it's definitely real, there's a lot of speculation that, it's mentioned in all of these ancient documents, and we can see that there were geological upheavals at those times. And so, those geological upheavals were caused by Nibiru. Well, we don't know that. Certainly they were caused by something, but we weren't here, and we don't know that for sure. On the other side is speculation that says, well, you know, if Nibiru was actually out there by now, I mean, you know, if it's going to pass near us in 2012, it's close enough that astronomers ought to be seeing it by now, and they're all saying they don't see it. The absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Now, I want to give you a quick example of how you should know already that that's true. Have you ever laid your car keys down somewhere and then couldn't find them? And you looked all over your desk, you looked all over the house, you looked everywhere you could think of to look, and you just couldn't find your car keys, okay? That was absence of evidence. You didn't see the evidence they existed. You knew they did because you laid them down, but you couldn't see the evidence that they existed. And then as you kept looking and you're about to give up, your eyes just ran across an area on your desk that you already had looked at 10 times, and there were the keys. that proved that the absence of evidence was not evidence of absence. They were there. You didn't perceive them. There's a group of scientists who have run some simulation tests on our solar system. These are computer simulations trying to figure out how did the planets get in the orbits they are in? How did our solar system happen? And this was done by David Nisorovny from Colorado's Southwest Research Institute. And he says, our current solar system could never have happened without the existence of a fifth planet. Now, he's talking about the fifth big planet. So they ran these simulations. They ran over 6,000 computer simulations trying to figure out how the various planets of our solar system wound up in the orbits they are in. And when using just the four giant planets, every simulation found that they were too large and they ended up destroying each other. In the simulations where they did manage to make it in one piece, the rocky planets such as Mars and Venus were destroyed. So according to his results, the solar system as we know it could not be the solar system we know unless there was another giant planet. So he decided to add a fifth large planet to the mix. And with the addition of this large planet, he found that the results were that the odds of our current solar system increased significantly. Now, the most successful simulations show Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, and a fifth giant planet, similar to Neptune, started out all tightly packed and orbiting some 15 times further from the sun than our planet, Earth. A close encounter between Jupiter and this fifth unknown larger planet ejects this large planet, this fifth planet, he says, out of the solar system. And then everything works. Everything falls into place as it's supposed to, and the planets assume the orbits as we know them. Well, then, what if it was not ejected out of the solar system, but ejected into a very long-range elliptical orbit that's still in the solar system? A little food for thought, huh? Do you remember, I know you do, I've had a number of physicists as guests on the show, and you've heard me say it, you've heard me say that light, I said it last night, the speed of light is not the fastest speed in the universe. And in fact, my view is the exact opposite of that. My view is that the speed of light is the horse and buggy speed of the universe. We're still trying to figure out how to get up to that speed. But for the universe, that's horse and buggy speed. And what I said was, if you travel at just 1 millimeter per second faster than the speed of light, you have outrun its illumination. And that means then you are now traveling at the speed of dark. Hard to get your mind around at first, I know. But that's what I have said on many occasions. I've said it to physicists on this show. Well, there's an article out that says strange particles may travel faster than light, breaking laws of physics. Because I have also said there are no such things as laws of physics. That's fiction. There are no such things as laws of physics. What people are calling laws of physics are just descriptions of our current understanding of how things work. When Einstein came along, the prevailing view, the prevailing theory, was Newtonian physics. And Einstein was laughed at, he was ridiculed, he was put down, he was shunned. And then they started finding out a whole lot of what he had to say was correct. And when they found out a lot of what he had to say was correct, they began coming back to Mr. Einstein and begging him to become a part of these various professional associations of physicists. Well, if what Einstein said was correct, it was correct the day Isaac Newton was born. Isaac didn't know it. He wrote down his observations, and those were the laws of physics. Until Einstein, and when Einstein wrote his down, those became the laws of physics. But they're just descriptions of our current understanding. Well, they have discovered now over at the CERN laboratory in Switzerland that these tiny particles called neutrinos are traveling faster than the speed of light. Oh, really? I am so shocked. And they are saying, you know, that this really upsets Einstein's version of physics, and it'll all have to be rewritten. Oh, well, slap me and call me honey. Look, there are no laws of physics. There are our descriptions of our current understanding. And I said when Dr. Michio Kaku was here, I said to him, someday somebody really smart is going to step right over Einsteinian laws of physics, and we're going to be in a whole new ball game. And he said, that's exactly right, and we're not that far from it. Well, here it is. Here it is. There is speed faster than the speed of light, Virginia. The speed of light is the horse and buggy speed of the universe. And, you know, we're still trying to figure out how we can get up to that speed. If you can imagine Neanderthal trying to figure out how he can travel at 60 miles an hour, that's about how we are when we're trying to figure out how to travel at anywhere near the speed of light. Okay, now I have a couple of things I want to deal with. Oh, by the way, back when I said those things for the first time on the air, I got quite a bit of email from people very critical of me, which is fine. If you're critical of me, I mean, you think I'm wrong, that's okay. I mean, nobody died and made me God. I see it my way, and you can see it your way. But I got quite a bit of email. Not tons, but I got a fair amount of email from people who were critical about that. Well, guess what? I was right. All right, now I have an email here, also critical. It's from Scott in Nevada. He says, "Hi, Kevin. I'm a longtime listener and usually agree with you. However, I'm thinking I disagree with something you said, with something you and a caller said on a recent show about the moon. The caller was critical of the quality of photos from NASA, and you agreed with him. I've heard you say that you're not a photographic expert. If you are not a photo expert, you really have no basis for criticizing NASA's pictures. Just my humble opinion. Well, let me talk about that a little bit, and then I'm going to play a little game with you, but let me talk about that first. Scott, thank you. I appreciate very much you expressing your views. Scott, have you ever seen a photograph that was out of focus? Well, of course you have. Now, I don't know if you're a photographic expert, but I can tell you that a first grader can tell when a photograph is out of focus. It's blurry. You don't have to be a photographic expert to be able to see and comment upon the quality of the photographs you're looking at. I mean, number one, you're not blind, and I know that because you're talking about these photographs. Number two, you're not stupid. That's evident in the way you write. So you're not blind, you're not stupid. If you're not blind and you're not stupid, then you can look at any photograph and make pretty good general comments about the quality of the photograph. Now, a photographic expert may be able to look at that photograph and say, well, that was shot with this type of film or this type of camera. It was at this f-stop. They used a blue filter or they used a red filter. You may be able to give us some details like that if you're a photographic expert. But you don't have to be a photographic expert to look at a picture and say, that's in focus or that's not in focus. And then when you compare it to other photographs, you can also make observations. Now, in that show that I think it's the one that you're talking about, I showed photographs of the Apollo 17 landing site. I think that's the show you're talking about. And then I compared the quality of that NASA photograph with another NASA photograph taken with exactly the same satellite, same camera. The Apollo 17 landing site looked absolutely ridiculous when compared with the picture of the Tycho crater. In the Tycho crater, we could see pebbles. It was that clear. At the Apollo 17 landing site, it was blurry. Same camera. And my comment was, these are not the best pictures of the landing site that NASA has. It's just the best picture they're going to let you see. I'm going to do something in just a moment when we come back. I think you will enjoy. We'll be back after this.
And you are smart because you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Well, then, a little bit of minor malfunction there with the television broadcast software. But I think I've got that fixed. Those of you on radio never noticed anything at all. Worked perfectly as always. All right, I said I was going to do something. And here's what I'm going to do. First, I am going to open the telephone line. But now, we're not ready yet for you to call. Okay? And we're not ready for BYOT yet. This is going to be just a little bit of fun, okay? So here we go. For those who are watching, I have a picture of the moon. It's a fairly close-in, close-up picture of the moon. It's a moonscape. What I would like is, now, we'll just, we'll see if anybody can guess. Which satellite took this? Which country took this? It's pretty clear, isn't it? As a matter of fact, it's real clear. Let me just go ahead and enlarge that picture. All right, now that's pretty close up, and that's pretty clear. So I'd like to know which satellite, and it is the moon. This is not a trick. That is the moon. Which country, which satellite took that? The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Okay? Now, if anybody wins this, if you get it right, I'm going to give you a free one-month subscription to our members area. It's free for a month, and you can either use it for yourself or you can give it to somebody else as a gift. All right? So give me a call at 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada and you want to participate in this little bit of a contest here, you can either call the number or you can use the flash message option on my website. To use the flash message option, you simply go to the website and scroll down. You will see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it, you will see the link that says flash message. Okay? Now, come on. Somebody make a guess here. Anybody got a guess? This is the moon. It's a clear picture. It's pretty close up, and I want to know which country and which satellite, either one. Well, no, we really need you to tell me which satellite. How did they take this picture? All right, 623-444-5889. Is there anybody that has the guts to guess? Huh? Come on. You surely have some idea. Okay, you're not going to guess, huh? Okay, contest over. Nobody. Wait. We just got a call, so we'll go ahead and see what the caller has to say. Caller, your first name, where are you calling from?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Jerome, what do you think about that picture?
I'm just going to throw it out and say it's the Japanese satellite that took that picture.
Okay, Jerome. Now, I'm not going to say whether it is or isn't, because you saved the contest. We were just about to end it. So I'm going to give a couple of more people the opportunity to guess, and then I will say what is the real information about how we got this picture. Okay, but it's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Jerome, stand by, and we'll see if anybody else calls in. I will announce all the details about this picture in just a moment, okay?
Sure.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. Anybody else with the guts to guess? Come on. 623-444-5889. And there we go. Caller, your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin. This is Barrett from West Virginia.
Barrett, what do you think about this picture?
I'm gonna guess Russia.
Okay. Let me write that down. Any particular reason you guess Russia?
They just seem to be, I don't know, more open with space images.
Yeah, well, you know, just about everybody seems to be more open with space images, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you hang in there, and in just a moment I will announce what it is that we're looking at. Well, what it is, we're looking at the moon, but I'll announce how we got this picture in just a moment, okay?
Okay.
All right, we have two contestants now. One says Japan, one says Russia, And here's another contestant. Caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I'm going to guess United States around 1968.
1968. Would you have any idea what satellite?
I have no clue.
Okay, well, that's good. We'll, United States, 1968. All right, Brent, you stand by. I'll make the announcement in just a moment.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. All right, anybody else? 623-444-5889. We'll give you just a moment to make up your mind whether you're going to call. Caller, your first name and where are you calling from? Hello?
Would you have any idea what's
going on? Okay. When you call, don't be listening to your radio, because by the time you hear me answer the phone on your radio, I'm gone. Be listening to the phone when you call me on the phone, okay? Caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
I'm Chris from Chattanooga.
Okay, Chris from Chattanooga. And what do you think about this photo of the moon? How did we get it?
I believe, I'm just guessing, but I'm going to say Russia.
Okay. Now, is there anything about this photograph that sort of makes you lean toward Russia?
Not particularly. I'm just taking a guess, I guess.
Okay. All right, Chris, thanks. And I'll announce in just a moment the real details so everybody will know, okay?
I'm a first-time caller, too.
Oh, are you? Wow, congratulations. Chris, after we finish this little contest, we're going to open line. And feel free to call back in on open line if you have something you want to talk about.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got time. We can take another call if it comes right now. If you've called in during this little contest, we've had four calls so far. If you called in when we do go open line, feel free to call back in. This is a freebie, okay? This doesn't prevent you from calling back in. All right. So I'm going to do a countdown from 5 to 0. When I get to 0, the contest is over if you haven't called. 5. Oh, there we go. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is John. I'm calling from Rogers, Arkansas.
Hello, John in Rogers, Arkansas. We're on the radio there, I believe.
Where?
We are on the radio in Rogers, Arkansas.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Who do you think this is?
Unfortunately, I am not viewing your moonshot, but
okay.
My guess is China.
China. Now, there's a good guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, John, you hang in there, and we'll make the announcement in just a couple of minutes here.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, here we go with the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay, that's it. Now we're going to get some pretty interesting stuff here. For those who are listening tonight, and you can't see this photograph, it is a moonscape. I mean, it's just you're looking at the moon. But it's not, you know, it's not like you're looking at the moon like you see it up in the sky. It's a close-up. And so it would appear that whatever satellite took this was flying rather low, or at least had its cameras really zoomed in. Well, this is in response to the email I got from Scott. Remember that? I read that email from Scott. Scott said that I'm not a photographic expert. That's true, I'm not. And he said, therefore, I really don't have a basis for criticizing NASA's pictures. And I contend that I do. And the reason I have the basis is because I have eyes and I'm not stupid. Okay? I can see whether a picture is clear or not. And when I say their picture is not clear, then it's not. And it is a criticism. When our caller that Scott refers to, if I remember this correctly, the caller said, after all of these years and all of these billions of dollars have been spent and all of these satellites have been put up there around the moon, and they can't give us better pictures than that? Well, my criticism is along those lines as well. My criticism is that the pictures that they showed us of the Apollo landing sites, all the headlines said, clearest pictures ever of the Apollo landing sites. And what I said was, no, they're not. Those are not the clearest pictures that NASA has. They cannot possibly be the clearest ones NASA has. Those are just the clearest ones they're going to let you see. And there has to be a reason why they're doing that. And you remember the show that I did on that, right? I still contend that's the case. Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you, NASA did not shoot this photograph, and you knew that because it was way too clear. Russia did not shoot this. So that only leaves China and Japan in the running here. It wasn't the USA and it wasn't Russia. So which one do you think it was? Well, it wasn't Japan. Oh, so it was China? No, it wasn't China. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, that was shot with an amateur telescope right here on Earth in Venezuela. An amateur telescope in Venezuela shot that picture. Had a camera attached to it, of course. If an amateur astronomer with amateur good equipment, but amateur equipment, can shoot a picture like that from his backyard or front yard or wherever he was, and NASA can't give us clear photographs? Come on. I have a right to criticize that. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. This is Open Line Live tonight, and we will open the phones here in just about a minute. I just want to wrap up with this picture. Folks, if a guy in Venezuela, here on Earth, on planet Earth, with an amateur telescope, and not a toy telescope by any means, good telescope, but it's amateur, it's classed as an amateur telescope. If he can get that picture with his camera standing right here on terra firma, how can NASA expect us to believe the crap they served up to us are the clearest pictures ever of the Apollo landing sites? Nonsense. So, Scott, I appreciate your email, and I appreciate you being courageous and stating your case. We have a difference of opinion. I understand your opinion. I disagree with it. My opinion is you don't have to be an expert to compare photographs. And I'm looking at one here that was shot from Earth that's absolutely clear and close up. And then NASA tells us that their high-priced, multi-million dollar lunar reconnaissance orbiter camera, high definition, could not give us pictures even this clear of the Apollo landing sites. They're asking us to believe something that's not believable. So I stand by my criticism of NASA on that, and I'd like to know why they did it. I know they have better photographs. I showed you other photographs, or one other photograph, shot with that same camera on the LRO, and it was so crystal clear you could see pebbles on the ground. So I know they have the capability. I'm sure they have real crystal clear pictures of those landing sites, but you're not going to get to see them. I'd like to know why. The telephone lines are open, and Open Line Live is underway. Bring your own topic, 623-444-5889. And right away we go to the telephones. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Jerome.
When you offered that contest, I didn't call right away because I didn't want to give up my opportunity to call the show.
And, okay. I should have announced that.
And then after time went on and nobody called, I decided to give it a shot. I think you answered Scott's email with a convincing argument. I mean, it was just black and white.
Were you surprised at how clear that picture is? When I said that was taken from Earth, it was taken by a guy in Venezuela with amateur astronomy equipment. Did that surprise you?
No. And here's why. I was going to say that it was taken from the Earth, but when you mentioned it, I believe you said it was from a satellite. You said which satellite took it.
Yeah, which nation and which satellite? Yeah.
Yeah, and but I didn't think it was from Earth, but I kind of thought you were throwing something up there. But can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
You offered a free membership, a 1 month membership.
Uh huh.
I think if you could extend that to like a first-time caller, since nobody won this, if you could extend that to a first-time caller who's not a member, it might be a nice gesture.
Well, okay. I believe that was the first-time caller was Chris in Tennessee, wasn't it?
I think that was him, yes.
Okay, tell you what. We'll do that. I think that's a very good suggestion. Very good suggestion.
I'm not sure if it was Chris or not, but I know it was one of the viewers. It may have been John from Arkansas. I think he said he wasn't viewing, but I'm not sure.
I'll tell you what. I wasn't really paying attention to that part. I was paying attention to what they were saying about this moon photo. So let me say this. Chris or John, whichever one of you was the first time caller, you call back in and let me know, and we'll get you that 1 month membership, okay? And then if you like it, maybe you'll continue. I think that's a great idea. I appreciate it, Jerome.
Thank you, Kevin. Hey, also on your hypothesis about the speed of dark.
Yeah.
I think that's very interesting, and it just shows how much we advance. And you know how you said the one thing about a physicist is they'll admit they're wrong. Like you said, they weren't talking to Einstein. They made fun of him, and then they came back and called him Mr. Einstein.
That's correct.
That's more than we can say about our archaeologists.
Yeah, you know, physicists, it takes a lot to get them to budge. But they will, and you're right about that. But what gets me is the rest of the population out here says, well, this or that cannot be because that would violate the laws of physics. Well, the whole dang universe violates the laws of physics. There's no explanation for it. Okay, so the laws of physics, for instance, after all these billions of years, if the Big Bang theory were true, Jerome, which I am absolutely convinced it is not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you can't have zero and then an explosion. You got to have something that explodes. Well, then where did the something come from? Okay, so anyway, but after all these billions and billions of years, we ought to be seeing the universe slowing down in its expansion. But it isn't. It's speeding up. Now, that violates one of the laws. That violates entropy. So the whole universe violates laws of physics. And that's because there are no laws of physics. Those are descriptions of our current understanding. And our current understanding is very limited. So that it's not laws. It's, you know, suggestions for... I'll tell you what a law of physics is. It works like this. Heck, we don't know. How about this theory? And, I mean, it's really almost that loose. Yeah, I know they do a lot of testing and observation and all of that. However, how much of the universe can you put in a lab and test? You see? So it's very limited.
Yes, I agree with you. The laws of physics is just our current understanding. I think that was aptly put.
Yeah, and so, you know, can something outrun the speed of light? If it couldn't, you couldn't have dark.
Very interesting, Kevin.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, there's more I'd like to talk about, but I'll get off the air so other callers can call in. But I just wanted to mention that I'm happy with the Real People show, and I want to thank the three people you had on so far.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I appreciate that, and I know they appreciate it. And, you know, we're getting really great response, rave reviews on the Real People shows.
I think they're brave people.
Yeah, they really are. Okay, Jerome, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. I got a telephone call before the show. Well, I'll tell you about it when we come back from this break, because a break is taking over right now. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that caused you to miss the first hour. Very quickly, we have a caller on hold, and we'll go to that call in just a second. I got a call just before the show from one of our members out in California informing me that the members area was not accessible. And then we have a flash message from John in Ireland that was telling me that at about that same time. And so I just wanted to announce, because some of you maybe tried to log in and couldn't log in, and so you're listening because you think you can't log in. We were doing work on moving some things from the current members area over to the new members community, and so it was shut down temporarily. Okay, but we turned it back on, and you can log in. All right, so you can be watching the show tonight. To the telephone, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show, or you were. Okay, well, I'm so sorry you didn't hang on. caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is John from Mesa, Arizona.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
No, we had 104 today.
Oh, you have a had a cool front came through, I guess.
Well, I'm glad that fall is actually showing up in parts of the United States.
Yeah. Well, at 104, I guess you guys in Arizona probably ran out and got your sweaters, right?
I did actually see a woman in a sweater today going into a store.
Yeah.
I thought,
yeah.
I don't know where she came from, but she needs a sweater today. Probably Hades branch office.
Well, that would be Tempe.
Oh, there we go, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Tempe, Arizona in the summer. Is the northern suburbs of hell.
Yeah, it's caught right in the middle of Phoenix and Mesa and Chandler, mm-hmm. and there's just a lot of concrete and blacktop all the way around it.
That's true. What have you got on your mind tonight about the strange
and
unexplained?
Well, I came up with this thought late the other day when you were talking about the moon, and I just want to throw it out there, you know, all these pictures that have got hidden stuff in them, and I don't want to diminish them at all, but I want, you know, I just... My mind wanders sometimes, and I get these thoughts, and I just wanted to throw this thought out and mm-hmm. see what you think about it.
Okay.
Since we now know that there is water on the moon and that there are photographs of clouds moving across the moon,
mm-hmm.
would that also stand to reason on the sunny side of the moon, where it gets rather warm, that you would have heat waves like you do here in Arizona causing mirages off in the distance?
Well, you could.
I had never thought of that, yeah, you know, but if you've got all the same components, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, you could, but in order to have a mirage, you need a thick atmosphere.
Does it have to be thick? I just, you know.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
It's going to have to be enough to act as a backdrop, as a screen, like a movie screen.
Right.
So it's going to have to be thick enough for that, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, my mind wanders, like I said. I just thought, well
it's
know,
a good thought.
There's water there.
Yeah. You
know? And it could be spotty, too, like, you know, if they've got a crater that's just now coming into the sun and it could throw that cloud up, you may have a mirage in just one area, kind of like those partial, sunspots, what do they call them? They call them...
Sundogs.
Sundogs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, the sun dog exists because of weird
clouds.
Because of weird things with our atmosphere, which is virtually soup. It's very thick. We have a thick atmosphere.
Right. And that section reflects a light like a prism.
Yeah. So, you know, could you have a mirage? Yeah, you could. How likely would it be on the moon? I would say not very likely, unless... John, unless they're lying to us about how thick the atmosphere is. Yeah. See, if the atmosphere on the moon, which they have admitted it does have atmosphere, if it's a lot thicker than what they tell us, then yes,
and
you could.
I believe I heard on your show that they have actually, someone's got photographs of clouds moving across the surface of this moon.
That's true. That's been observed by astronomers for like over 100 years, clouds moving across the moon. It is possible that the moon has a much thicker atmosphere than what they've told us, and in that case, it would be more possible to have mirages.
Yeah.
So either way, their pictures are giving away something, aren't they?
Right. Yeah. Like I said in the beginning, I didn't want to diminish anything that you guys are seeing in the photos, but you know, if there's moistures, then there could be reflection. And here's another thought: if there is reflection, are you seeing something over the horizon?
That is true too.
You know, because I remember one time I was coming in from across New Mexico, and it was late at night. My brother and I were seeing. We were looking out across this valley. We could see three small communities way off in the distance. And those three small communities were reflecting UFO-type lights off of the clouds above it. And we thought, oh, that's weird, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can happen. And it does happen here on Earth. But, you know, I've read a number of articles that say that the moon's gravity is not one-sixth of Earth, but is 66% of what we have on Earth.
I had heard that, too, yes.
Mm-hmm. So if the same sort of...
a whole collection of things that that aren't as we were told.
Yeah, hard to believe that, isn't it?
I remember somebody told us, you know, be careful of the history and the things that you're told, because bear in mind it was written by the winners and not necessarily reflecting the real truth, but the truth as they see it or want you to see.
You know, that
it.
Used to be true. It's not true now. It's not written by the winners. It's written by those who manufactured it.
Well, in a sense,
you know,
they
used
are
to,
the winners. They are the ones in control.
Yeah, you would have real wars where there was a real contest between nations.
Right.
And now we have manufactured wars.
Right.
And
it's like we have a whole history of the Orient that is totally we're totally oblivious to.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
I remember somewhere, I don't remember whether it was your show or what, was talking about massive navies that the Chinese had years ago, 300 years ago, with huge ships, and they did, you know, trade just like Europe did, only they were doing it with the Indians off of the western coast of the Americas.
That's right.
From Australia.
That is right. They had massive navy with massive ships. They went all over the world, and they mapped most of the world.
And there's, you know, I was thinking that may be where we were getting some of the maps, the ancient maps of Australia, that that they have no idea where they came from.
Mm-hmm. You mean Antarctica?
What is it, the Pierce or something?
Yeah, Peary Reese. Yeah, that's Antarctica.
Peary Reese map, yeah.
Yeah, Antarctica.
Right, and they had no idea where that was. The source maps of those were. They could have been from a navy we haven't been told about, that somebody knows about, probably in the Vatican Library.
Well, it would not surprise me. That would
you
not
know,
surprise
what else
me
I
at all.
I think is in the Vatican Library, and I don't want to cast any aspersions out there, but they may have set the fire at the Library of Alexandria after they took everything out.
Well, I don't know about that, but they do
that's
have a lot of really high-level secret information in the Vatican Library.
Well, anytime you have access to thousands of years of information, it definitely gives you a leg up on everybody else.
That's true. Knowledge is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Secrets are power. All right, John, thanks for the call, man. We got to run.
You bet. All right, take care.
All right. All right. The telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889. Now, that's a curious thought, isn't it? Some of the structures that we see in the pictures of the moon, from the moon, could they be mirages? Well, I have to admit, I had not thought of that, but it's a good thought. And I would say if the atmosphere is much thicker than they tell us, then the possibility certainly exists that it could be mirages. But in that case, the pictures are showing us that the atmosphere is thicker than they told us. Either way, it's big news. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay. When you call, ladies and gentlemen, do not listen to the radio. Listen to the telephone. By the time you hear me on the radio say that you are live on the Kevin Smith Show, by the time you hear that, I'm already gone. Okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is Chris from Chattanooga again.
Hi, Chris. Were you the first time caller? Chris, can
yes,
you?
I was the first time caller.
Okay.
From Chattanooga.
Okay. Here's what I need you to do, because I'm going to give you a 1 month subscription to our members area. What I need
I'm
you to do.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Kevin, on this end for some reason.
All right. Can you hear me a little better?
Yes, I'd hear you a little better now.
Okay. What I need you to do, Chris, I need you to go to my website and click where it says contact, and then click where it says listener comment. Send me, that will enable you to send me an email. So send me an email with your first name and last name, and I will set you up with that free membership and email the information back to you, so telling you how you can log in and so forth, okay?
Okay. Just where it says list of comments, my first and last name.
Yeah, and just say, you know, I'm the person who won the free membership.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, do that, and then I'll get you set up.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're certainly welcome. All right. Thanks for the call, Chris. All right. 623-444-5889. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a wild and wonderful world. There are lots of things happening around us all the time. Things that are not part of the normal experience that we've come to expect, and we call these paranormal. I don't include UFOs, and the reason I don't is because if it's reflecting light and cameras can see it and your eyes can see it, it is a reality. It is not something paranormal. We may not understand it, but it's there. And so I don't include UFOs in the paranormal. A lot of people do. I don't. But there are things that are on your mind, things that you've experienced, things you've wondered about, you've read about, you've heard other people talk about, and this is your opportunity to discuss it with the world. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming again.
Hi, Brent.
I'm debating with myself on whether I should discuss this or not, because some people have very realistic opinions about it, but I tend to disagree.
Okay.
It's the powers that want to be.
All right.
According to some people, they are spiritual beings that have been around this planet for thousands of years.
You mean the so-called powers that want to be are spiritual beings?
Powers want to be.
Okay.
And the reason I call them that is because they are a bunch of immature little idiots. I sent you an email several years ago about how I would run a criminal justice system in an ideal world. You would put those who were breaking the law or whatever you want to call it into a mental state where they have all their wits about them, but all they have for company is all the pain and suffering they have caused by their actions. Now, these powers that want to be haven't considered the possibility of this actually happening to themselves. And in my opinion, if we could corner them and put them in that state,
mm-hmm.
and the only way they could get out of it is if, in their heart of hearts, they were to choose to make changes to correct their ways, then they could get out of it and get another chance. However, they would be closely watched. And if they started backsliding, that's it. No second, no third chances. That's my opinion.
Well, that might be a pretty good way to approach this. And, you know, the thing about it, though, Brent, is how do you determine which people qualify for that? I mean, you're always going to have some that are borderline.
Yeah, the ones that are borderline, they would probably get out of it a lot easier than the hardcore ones. And they would probably be the ones who would not backslide. You'd have to treat them all equally.
But that's so this would be sort of...
Big boy games, you got to play by big boy rules.
This would be sort of imposing hell on earth for them.
That's right.
There is another way.
Okay.
These, you call them powers that want to be. They are the elite. And here is something that we can do right now, starting right at this second. Okay. Number one, stop doing business with them and their companies.
Well, that's
okay.
True. But what?
And number two.
Okay, go for it.
Learn to say no. All right, now, these two things. These are the fuel that runs politics, money and agreement.
Okay.
All right. When they don't have money and the populace does not agree, and we will know. And one way we will know is the population will stop putting the same jackasses back in charge.
This is true.
Now, as long as the population keeps putting the same jackasses back in charge that got us in all of the mess we're in, then the population actually deserves everything that's happening to them.
This is true.
And so we're sort of getting our own hell on earth as a result of the actions we've taken.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's like I said about the chemtrails the other night. If you're being sprayed and you ask your congressman and your senator, what is that and why are you spraying it? And they say, we don't know. These are the people that appropriate the money for it. And they say, we don't know. Fire them. If you don't fire them, you deserve to be sprayed.
Yeah, and we got sprayed again today. It wasn't big a pattern, but we got sprayed again today.
Yeah.
Rural Wyoming.
Well, you know, I don't have much sympathy for the population at large.
Yeah, I know.
I really don't. We, the rest of us, are suffering what the population at large has inflicted on us by their stupidity.
Yeah. I agree. Sadly, but I do agree.
But if you cut off the money flowing to the big boys and you just learn to look them in the eye and say, no, who do you think you are? Nobody died and made you God. Yeah. You know, right then, their power is over.
Yeah.
Powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that completely. The problem is most people don't. Most people don't even want to see what's going on.
Well, that's true. That's true. And so they deserve what happens to them.
Yeah.
You know, if you close your eyes when you walk through an intersection, you kind of deserve to get hit.
I'll say that again. You can say that.
Yeah. And that's what they're doing. And so,
yeah
well, okay.
Yeah, I agree. But that would be my solution for the long haul. If we
could all right, find now,
who they were.
Would you put these people in a prison?
Potentially. What?
Would you put these people in a prison?
I would put them in a sanitarium of some sort, just so they could be kept alive and out of circulation.
Well, they have a great propensity for digging these big underground tunnels and underground bases to protect their collective asses in the event of great catastrophe. So maybe what you could do is just dig a great big hole somewhere and put them in this hole and toss raw meat to them once in a while.
Yeah, but I don't want to kill anybody. It'd be so tempting just to bury the hole.
Well, I wouldn't be tempted to bury the hole, but I mean, they seem to like it down there, so
yeah,
that might be the most humane thing for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Just get all the extra food they don't need out of there first.
You don't like this, do you? I mean, you don't like these people.
Oh, no. They're a bunch of, like I said, they're a bunch of wannabes.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brent, thank you for the call.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. All right. Brent, why don't you say what's really on your mind? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. It is Open Line Live tonight. It is BYOT night. That means that you can select your own topic. We have a flash message here from Mark in New Zealand. He says, Kevin, it would be more correct to criticize Malin Space Science Systems for the poor quality images we're repeatedly served up by NASA. Malin designs and provides the imaging equipment for NASA. For NASA missions, and contractually has prior first rights to processing before they are passed on to NASA. I'm sure that NASA then also post-processes to increase the level of obfuscation even further. And then he gives the URL for Malin Space Science, and it's msss.com. Well, Mark, I agree with you. However, I will say this. NASA is the employer. They are the ones who pay Malin. And if NASA wanted you to have clearer pictures, you'd be getting them. All they have to do is say to Malin, we're not accepting that work. We're not going to sign off on that. That's not good. And they would start getting better pictures because Malin wants to be paid. So, the point is that NASA's still in control of this. And I will say again, if a guy in Venezuela with amateur astronomy equipment can get a picture that clear from Earth, I don't want to hear any nonsense out of NASA about that crap they've been giving us and telling us that's the clearest pictures ever of the Apollo landing sites. Nonsense. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back to you right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall return in just a moment.
You're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. Let's go straight to the telephone and caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of respond to Brent's call.
Okay.
Have you heard the last interview with David Wilcox and Benjamin Fulford?
Yes, I have.
I like his idea.
It's about, let's see, what it's like an hour long. It's a long interview.
Yeah, well, do you remember the part where he talked about putting them all in the FEMA camps that they built for us?
It's a very good idea.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. I don't expect it will happen.
Oh, I can't give up. I realize, it's wishful thinking, but I sure want to believe it could be true.
Well, look, the future is all about possibilities. It's not written yet. And the decisions we make and the actions we take right now determine which possibilities accrue to us. And so, you know, if people take the right actions, if they think the right things and take the right actions now, then anything is possible.
Yeah, and I think, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt. I think if they realized what was going on, they would do something just like, you know, you're about my age.
Mm-hmm.
When we were younger and when my dad was there, there's no way we would have let all this stuff happen. You know, taking away all our freedoms and all this stuff. It would not have happened 30 years ago.
Well, and the reason...
It's like everybody is zombied or so stressed, trying to feed their families. I'm watching my kids. I mean, they work two jobs,
mm-hmm.
and his wife works, you know, just to barely squeeze by and still not have enough for food.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are people working three and four jobs.
Well, if you count that with his wife working two, that's three.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the thing is... That you hit the nail right on the head. People are zombied out. They're mushroomed.
Mm-hmm.
They're in mushroom land. And
go to the grocery store when you try to buy food for your family. Especially when you got kids, you have to take out a second mortgage on your house just to pay for the groceries.
Yeah, that's true.
And before the month's over, you got to do it again.
Yeah. Well, you know. It is possible that enough people will sort of awake from their anesthesia and decide to do something. But, you know, salvaging the Republic is over. It's too late. Now, it's possible that there could be something that would arise that would be free. You know, out of the rot pile that this has become, it's possible. Whether it will or not, it remains to be seen.
Well, you know, there's, I would say, 1% of the population is hopelessly cruel and sick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of us, if you talk to people one-on-one, if you just wake up, sober up long enough to see what's going on and take it into their own hands, like I said, and finally, just like you said, just stop letting them keep stealing from them, stop working for them, stop giving them the money, you know, stop it. I mean, just to stop it. I think people are generally good at heart.
Oh, I agree with that. Generally speaking, people are good. And listen, I've been... Oh, I usually say I've been all over the world. That's not true. I have been in about 30 countries.
Compared to most, I'd say you have.
Yeah, well, but, you know, in a whole lot of places on this planet. And I haven't met a population yet that's not really good people. You've heard me talk about Serbia, and I was there at the time when you were being told they hate us.
Yeah.
They didn't hate us. I never had any problems. And they didn't hate Americans. They hated our government. They hated Bill Clinton and Madeleine Albright. But they didn't hate you. They didn't hate me. And they differentiated between, you know, they understood that there's the people and then there's the government.
Well, I wish our people would that smarten up like that.
Well, some are, and, you know...
Some are. I have to admit, it is doing better.
Mm-hmm. But everywhere I've been, the people were just decent people, and they were just like us. They just wanted the same things out of life that we want. And, you know, there were different circumstances because of their governments. But the people themselves were just the same.
Yeah.
You know, right now, there's all of this animosity building about China. And most of the people who spit and sputter about China are not making the differentiation between the government and the people.
Exactly.
If you ever spend time working with and getting to know people from China, they are lovely people. They really are.
Well, you know, they're smart.
Leah, if you just took the geniuses in China, that's more people than the entire population of this country.
Whoa. Got to respect that, man.
Yeah, and so if, you know, if we intend to be competitive, then we've got to stop being dummies. You know, we have to learn, and we have to grow, and we have to be smart. But the people of China just want the same things for them and their families that we want here. And the same thing, we could say the same thing for Iraq. We could say the same thing for any country in Africa. Any place you go on the planet, the people are really pretty much just like us.
Yeah, I wish if we get strong enough and pull together enough to start actually running our own country, because the government is, you know, every time they're trying to point their finger at China, point their finger at Iraq, you know, so on and so on, the more you realize they're the ones starting everything. They're the ones
yeah.
we need to get rid of.
I won't tell you who I said this to, but there was a person that I told one time, you know what you do? You come throw gasoline on me, strike a match, throw it on me, and then blame me for screaming.
Yeah.
And that's the way this government does.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's what upsets me the most. Mm-hmm. The crap they're doing to everybody else. It's bad enough we let it do to us, but to stand back and watch them do this to other countries. And we're actually paying for it.
Yeah. Now, having said that, let me say this. There, in general terms, what you and I have just said is true. But when we say the government's doing this, we have to understand that there are real flesh and blood, oxygen-breathing human beings sent by our government to go do jobs in all these places around the world. And most of those people are very decent people and really believe they are doing something that's for good. They don't think that they're doing something that's evil. But what happens is the hotshots back in Washington, D.C. take the work that those people are doing and they bend it and misuse it for purposes those people out there doing the work never intended and never thought they were part of something like that.
Well, I think in a lot of ways that happens right in our own Pentagon and in government offices even. They're oblivious to how they're being used.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just a handful of criminals at the top.
Yeah.
That make it happen. But, you know,
in the FEMA camps. Or like Brent said, you know, send them down to the little shelters and just bury them in there.
Well, the thing is, though, that as long as Americans keep putting those people in charge, then America deserves what it's getting.
I got it. We could stick them in a zoo.
There.
People can, you know, pick on them like they do those poor animals and throw food at them and just look at the crazies that caused all these trouble.
You just made me think of a Twilight Zone episode. The guy was taken to another planet. And he was put into this really nice house, and he was given everything he wanted. Whatever he wanted, they would bring it to him. And so he thought, well, okay, you know, it's not so bad. And then the day came where all of a sudden the curtains parted, and he realized this very nice house he was in was a habitat at a zoo.
I remember that.
You remember that?
See, it was a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the earthling on display.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're sort of in...
That might work.
It might.
I don't think they're really human.
Well, I think they are, but, you know, again, powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be.
Yeah, well, I think for the most part, you're probably right. Most of them really don't even realize. They're just greedy, you know.
Well, that's true, and they are accustomed to us just yielding all this power to them, and so they think they have a right to it. Leah, you had sent me
our President Kennedy. That was the beginning of the end of freedom, right there. That was the beginning of the end.
I think you're right. You had sent me a notice, a message with your phone number. About these Real People shows. I've called it several times and haven't been able to get in touch with you. So.
Well, I'll resend it because I've been here.
Okay. Well, send it again. Send it again because I want you on the Real People series.
Okay.
All right.
Did you leave a message or?
No, it just rang and rang and rang.
Well, I have an answering machine, so even if I would have got something, so I'll send it again.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for the call, Leah.
Uh-huh. You have a good night.
Good night. All right, 623-444-5889. It's Open Line Live tonight. It is BYOT night. That means bring your own topic, okay? So you bring your own topic, and we will talk about it as long as it's within our genre of the strange and unexplained. Caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Barrett from West Virginia again.
Hello, Barrett.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on the last caller's statements. You know, it seems like anymore if you try to make a change with anything, you're labeled a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And, you know, which I hate that word, I really do, because it's not a conspiracy if you have the evidence, you know.
Well, yeah, but here's another thing.
It's not a theory if you have the evidence, sorry.
Yeah, here's another thing, though, and keep this in mind. Labeling people is one of the primary tools to try and discredit them because they know that most people are going to have a reaction to it. See, I don't care what people call me. I really don't. I absolutely, if somebody says, that Smith guy's a nut, okay, everybody's entitled to their opinion. All right, now let's get on with the discussion and see where this comes out in the wash. You know, if you stay focused on the evidence, no matter what they call you, no matter what they say, you win. So since I already know I'm going to win, I don't care what the losers have to say.
Good point.
Barrett, we have a break taking over. Just hang on. We'll come right back to you after the break, okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have Barrett on the line with us from West Virginia. And Barrett, we sort of had to cut you off in mid-sentence there because the break took over. So the floor is yours.
Oh, yeah. What I was going to say was it seems like, I noticed the government and all the major news stations, they have you pretty much brainwashed into believing that anyone from a different nationality or a different faith are evil or bad in some way. I mean, you see it every day.
That's right.
And that's just ridiculous. I mean, and it just, I don't know.
Well, one of the things President Kennedy did was commission a study. This study was to take a look at what would, if peace broke out, what would happen to society in America? What would happen to government? What would happen to the economy if there really was peace? Not all of that has ever been made public, but it apparently scared the living hell out of the handful of powerful people that sat at the top of the pyramid. You know something?
Oh, yeah.
If peace really broke out and nations were just getting along and trading with each other, there wouldn't be a whole lot of need for military. There wouldn't be a whole lot of need for intelligence services. There wouldn't be much need for the military industrial complex. But there would be outstanding universities. There would be outstanding elementary schools. There would be outstanding space exploration, things like that. Well, the people that run the military industrial complex would be pretty much out of a job.
Yep.
And they didn't want to be. And so, you know, when the Soviet Union no longer was in business, when Germany reunited, it was a real economic challenge to those who had made an industry out of fear. And so they have manufactured one enemy after another, one fear after another, to keep their economy going. And they're going to continue to do it as long as we continue to buy into it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I really watch the news. I really do. I mean, I can't stand it. But because it's a bunch of disinformation to me. But every time they come up with something that, something, new kind of terror, you know, a new kind of terror or you know, some new terrorist in another country, it's, I have to laugh, you know. It's like, come on, people, wake up to this, you know.
Well, let me give you a thought about terrorism. It exists, and terrorists exist. I've stood toe-to-toe with some of them.
Right.
Okay. Nobody like Osama bin Laden or like that. But, I mean, I have stood toe-to-toe, eyeball-to-eyeball with people that are classified as terrorists and in my former career. So it exists, and these people are truly horrendous individuals. They truly are. But you cannot keep a country safe from terrorism. You can make people less free by telling them you're going to keep them safe, and you institute all this stuff to, quote, keep them safe from terrorism. But let me ask you to think about something. And this is not a slam by any means against our military. It's just an observation. I have the highest regard and respect and love for the men and women who take the risks. And they're out there. But if you really can keep America free from terrorism, if that's really possible, how is it you can't? How is it the very people who are out there trying to keep us free from terrorism cannot keep themselves free from terrorist attacks?
Yeah.
Okay. The point is this. If a terrorist wants you, he'll find a way.
Right.
The most militarized, tough security place on this planet is Israel. Do they have terrorist attacks? Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Okay, so you cannot keep a people safe from terrorists. You can do things that would make it a little safer. Now, one thing they could do is, if they're serious about wanting to protect me from terrorism, close the damn border.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a start. But you seal off that border and make it tough for terrorists to get in, and then you leave the people inside the border very free and don't clamp down on them so much. Instead, they're going the other way, and that is they're going to treat us like inmates and leave the borders open. Okay, I see what the game is. I understand the game, and it is a game. It's a lie. Because you cannot keep a country safe from terrorism. If a terrorist really wants you, he'll find a way. Did I shock you?
Yeah. Sorry.
Did I shock you?
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Well, you know, it's. I see what the game is. I'm unplugged from it. Okay? I'm just unplugged. I don't participate in the game. And, you know.
I was going to respond to Brent's comment. Brent from Wyoming, he was sprayed today, and here in West Virginia, they also sprayed chemtrails today.
You know, changing the subject a little bit, I've done some training in the woods out there in West Virginia.
Oh, really? What part?
I can't tell you.
No.
But you've got some rugged wilderness forests and stuff out there. They're pretty rugged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful place, though. Okay, look, Barrett, I've got to run. We're getting close to the end of the show, but I want to thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, you know, the fact that I've said that you cannot keep a country safe from terrorism is a real shock for some people. But that's a fact. You can't. If they really want you, they're going to do it. What you can do is you can take away people's freedom and tell them it's in their best interest because they're going to keep you safe from terrorism. But then they leave the borders open and the terrorists can walk across. Come on. I mean, you know, if you expect me to buy that, then you must think, you know, that I'm a candidate to buy the London Bridge or something, you know. That's nonsense. That's just nonsense. It doesn't fit any kind of logic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is just about time for us to bring the Starship in for a landing here. As always, I enjoy Open Line Live because we get to talk about so many different topics. And it's kind of like going back to the university, isn't it? I mean, you learn so much from so many people. One of the things I say all the time is everybody you meet is an expert at something. And there's something vital that you can learn from everyone. So Open Line Live gives us that opportunity, and it's an opportunity I absolutely love. I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight, and I hope you will participate in Open Line Live each time we have it. We try to have one every week. We don't always make it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.